We're very pleased at this time to continue our study in 2 Samuel. We're in the 13th chapter, ready to begin at the 15th verse. And the setting for this passage is that Saul is now in the second year of his reign. He's made some decisions that were not very wise decisions. First of all, he has reduced his army to only 3,000 men, sent everybody else home. Second of all, his son Jonathan attacked a garrison of the Philistines that were camped at Geba, and this caused a lot of anger on the part of the Philistines, and now they're bringing a great army against Israel. And the Philistines, rather than being limited to 3,000 men, they've gathered to themselves 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as numerous as the sand that's on the seashore. So there's a very vast army now in array coming up against Israel, and Saul only has 3,000 men. Well, Saul goes to Gilgal to wait for Samuel, as he's been instructed to do, but rather than wait the full time, when the seventh day came and Samuel still hadn't come yet, Saul went ahead and offered the sacrifice without Samuel being there, did the thing that Samuel was supposed to do, and this was a very great sin. Presumption that Saul had that he could go ahead and take the place of Samuel and offer the sacrifice then caused him to fall in disfavor with God. And Samuel did come immediately after Saul had offered the sacrifice, and he said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee." And he goes on and tells him that he would have established his kingdom forever, but now he had another one, a man after his own heart, that he was going to put into the kingdom, and that his kingdom would not continue. Well, after these Philistines had made the threat to attack Israel, it made the men of Israel even more in a state of disarray. They realized that they had violated a treaty with the Philistines by attacking them like this. And so verse 6 of this 13th chapter says, "When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits." So Israel, under the leadership of Saul, at this time is at a very low ebb. The army is reduced to just a small number of persons. Saul has sinned in the sight of God and in the sight of the people, and Samuel has given him a rebuke for it. And so we see that there are some real problems. So as we begin in the 15th verse, this verse says, "And Samuel arose and gat him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin." So after telling Saul that he had done foolishly, that he had sinned, that he didn't follow God's command, then Samuel left Gilgal and went back to Gibeah, which was now the center of the government. It was the hometown of Saul, and evidently he went there to wait for Saul because he hadn't forsaken Saul and all that he needed to do to help the nation. He just was opposed to Saul's disobedience and not keeping God's command. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him about 600 men. So now Saul is reduced to 600 men. Rather than having the 2,000 that he had earlier, he only has 600 now. Verse 16, "And Saul and Jonathan his son and the people that were present with him abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash." Now Michmash is about 6 or 7 miles from Gibeah, and it is near a very important pass. And so the Philistines seem to have the control over this area. They're very close to Saul and his small number of 600 men. Verse 17, "And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies." So the Philistines now were ravaging the area. They were spoiling this land of the Israelites. They were plundering it. And so they sent out three bands from their men, three bands that went in three different directions. One went to the west, one went to the east, and one went to the north. And so this describes that. It says, "One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Sheol. Another company turned the way to Beth-Horon, and another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zebium, toward the wilderness." So they're plundering the land, but not only does this work to the disadvantage of the Israelites, but it also gives them some advantage because it has now reduced the number of men that are encamped at Michmash. And it seems that in the next chapter, that Jonathan is going to take advantage of that fact when he makes an attack upon them. Verse 19. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. So somehow or other along the way, the Philistines had removed the smiths from the land of Israel. Whether they had captured all the smiths and carried them out in previous battles, whether they had just refused to allow any of them to learn their trade, it's not exactly clear. Some of the Bible scholars seem to think that they just removed the smiths and taken them out in previous battles with the nation. But they had a reason for doing this, and it was lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears, so that the Hebrews were not able to work with iron well enough to be able to make the swords or spears. They were not what we today would call blacksmiths. They were not metal workers or able to work with iron. Now, the land did have iron. It did have an abundance of the raw materials, but they didn't have the skill to work with it like the Philistines could. Verse 20, but all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. Now these instruments that are named here are tools or agricultural implements. And so they had to go to the Philistines to get these things made and repaired and actually sharpened. Yet, verse 21 says, yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So they did allow the Israelites to be able to file these or to do some sharpening of them. They couldn't make them. They couldn't reform them. They couldn't temper them like the smith could, but they could file them. And this word for file simply means to rub with a rough surface. And it could also include the use of something like a grinding stone. So their ability and skill to work with these metals and these implements was very limited. And this was a thing that the Philistines had planned. This was a part of their political maneuvering so that they could continue to have control over the Israelites. Verse 22, so it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. So they didn't have these kinds of weapons. No sword, no spear. And of course, during the reign of Samuel, they seemed to have enough peace and prosperity. And Samuel seemed to fight his battles with other things besides the carnal weapons. They didn't seem to need these things. But Saul had apparently let the nation degenerate now during his reign. This is the second year of his reign, and he has not provided these weapons for his men, and seemingly has made no effort to provide these weapons. And so now here they are without these types of weapons. Now they could have had some other weapons. They could have had clubs, they could have had slings and bows and arrows, but not the weapons of the sword or the spear. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. So it seems that only Saul and his son Jonathan had these types of weapons, the sword and the spear, that no other soldier had these weapons but these two men. Verse 23, and the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. So here the garrison of the Philistines that was camped over at Michmash, they went out to this pass now, which is an important area because to get through this country, whoever controlled this pass would be able to control the flow of traffic. And so they went out to the passage of Michmash. So here we have the setting now. Israel is in a fairly deplorable state. The army is reduced to 600 men. They don't have any swords or spears. They don't have the ability to work with iron to make these weapons. Only Saul and Jonathan have this type of weapon. And Saul has recently sinned. Samuel has had to pronounce him as a very foolish person. And the Philistines are making severe inroads now with the people with their marauding and their capture of this pass at Michmash. And so we see things are just in a very sad state as far as the affairs of the kingdom are concerned. But we now conclude the 13th chapter of 1 Samuel, and so we're ready to move into chapter 14.